I hope you had a lovely weekend and you are refreshed, and I hope you had a nice constituency day yesterday. And I want to welcome all of you to this meeting. Unfortunately, we would have been on oversight, but our oversight has been postponed or disapproved. So now we are doing back to our programs. We are the normal, the usual faces, so I don't think we're going to go the route of introducing ourselves or to someone new. If someone wants to make announcements, then we can do that. Sorry? It's a great joining the ANC. Honorable Fanningen?
Honorable Chair, I just want to apologize for Bev Abrams.
Unfortunately, Honorable Abrams is in hospital with gallstones. Is it gallstones?
No.
Kidney stones. Kidney stones.
She's not a
kidney stones, with kidney stones. I don't know. Somehow in Gauteng they were throwing with stones there. So how does it happen that you get kidney stones? Honorable Fanningen, how does it happen that you get kidney stones? They throw you against the kidney with a stone or what?
No, she danced so much at the launch of the DA. Election campaign
and sit down, let's listen to the people. Oh, so that means that the DA must not dance. The prerogative of the ANC to dance. Okay, honorable members, good morning. Good morning, honorable Sinclair.
Good morning, honorable.
Good morning, honorable Maine. Good morning, honorable Lee. Good morning, Honorable Fanningen. Good morning, Honorable Dikhali. Good morning, Honorable Gamede. Good morning, Honorable Nguni. Good morning, Madam Christine Zulu. Good morning, Mr. Mlazi, Luazi Maslango. Good morning, Ms. Maslomi. Good morning to you, sir, there from PMG. What's the name? Zwandile. Okay. Honorable members, I hope we're not going to have a long meeting. We're going to go through the committee researchers briefing documents on the budget vote analysis of the Department of Mineral Resources, and then we're going to consider and adopt the oversight report of the Eastern Cape and of the outstanding minutes. Honorable Mr. Maslango, the floor is yours.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I just want to make two apologies before the presentation. One is the Northern Cape, I couldn't access Northern Cape's budget appropriation. But I've got the copy. It's not in the presentation. Then the second one is in Mpumalanga. Mpumalanga, the presentation was postponed. It was done last week, Thursday. It's also not represented in the... So I only gave the budget allocation, no analysis of it. Just those two. And then in the presentation, quite a number of slides, so I'll just run through it in the interest of time. Some of the slides I won't deal in detail, so just skip some of the issues. Now, the structure of this presentation, it follows, it's more or less like the previous presentation, but it now deals more with the provincial allocations and also touches a bit on the national allocation. So it basically starts with the contextual background and then give the national budget, the Vote 32, then the provincial budget, and then key issues for consideration by Parliament. So, Chair, if I may ask, how much time do you?
Time.
times a week.
I'm looking at the slides. It's about 40 slides. 40 slides. So I'm looking at. Yeah. So or even shorter. Thanks, Chair. Now, conditional background is Bhaskar is the world leader in both with abundant resources, producing a significant minerals and contributing a lot to the world. And then say the state is the custodian over minerals and ownership and opportunity of the country's minerals is argued in the Mineral Petroleum Resource Development Act of 2002. And then 90% of these minerals, especially platinum metals on Earth, are mined in South Africa, produced, contributed to the world's wealth. 80% is manganese, 73% chrome, and 45% vanadium, 41% of gold. Then precious metals contribute for 65% to countries' mineral export earnings. Then the country supplies about 80% of world platinum, and the mining industry in South Africa is the biggest employer with around 460,000 employees, and there's another 400,000 employed by the supply of goods. So those are in the mining value chain or mineral resources value chain. Now in the NGP sets a target of 5 million in creation. Since 2011 has been declared the year of job creation. So the NGP sets a target of 5 million jobs by 2020. And if you look at the mineral mining sector, it's projected that it will create about 140,000 by 2020. Now if you average that, that's 140 average number by nine years, you're looking at 15,556 employees or jobs will be created in the mining sector per annum. So, and to be able to achieve that 140,000 jobs by 2020, so it will have to employ about that amount, 15,556 per annum. Now, that then is less than what was lost during the crisis. We lost about 40,000 jobs during crisis, so we're creating per annum of 15. So if you average, looking at the average, you're looking at roughly 3.5 to 4 years to regain that ground. And then just the world's share, South Africa's share of world reserves, so it's the reserves versus what is produced in the country. And if you look at the figures there, those numbers there that represent the ranking, so where South Africa ranks in terms of these minerals or mineral sources. Platinum, that's the light looks like orange there, it represents world reserves, and then the darker colors represent the world production. So if you look at platinum, the largest, it's about 90% as we said, and the production of, by group metal, it's about 60% of that. And then the least is the zirconium. Zircon. Zircon is the least in terms of the world reserves. The production exceeds the reserve. So in terms of these presentation, in terms of these graphs, South Africa ranks the first in most of these and second in some of these mineral resources. So that just basically says a lot about the mineral resources in the country, the wealth of mineral resources, and they used extensively, and that can be an engine of growth as well as job creation opportunity, or can create job in the country. Now, in terms of transformation now is a whole countrywide. 70% of mining industries, labor force is black, while about 5% represented at managerial level. And due to transformation, that the future targets in the mining industry are that they should be transferred, this should be transferred, about 26% of mining assets transferred to black-owned companies, ensuring 51% of future mining projects are controlled by black-owned. That's basically what is required. And the mining, and also that is represented in the new mining charter. Then the key role players in the mining industry: the BHP, Billiton, there's Anglo American, which is in the and its subsidiaries, which is Anglo Platinum, Anglo Coal, Impala, Platinum, and Kumba iron ore, which is represented in the various provinces. And then there's De Beers, which basically deals with diamonds, and jointly with the Botswana, the Beers in Botswana. And then there's Rio Tinto, then Tata Steel, the Indian company, which deals basically with carbon ferrochrome. And then in terms of the budget at national level, this is the budget at national level, so I won't go into detail about into this. We're looking at this highlighted area, the highlighted column of the budget 2011-2012 allocation. So basically national budget, there's about four programs: administration, promotion of mine safety and health, which is one of the key elements in the mining industry. One of the challenges is the safety in the mining industry. Then there's mineral regulation, which is classified into four things: coastal, eastern, western, and also inland regulation. And then there's mineral policy and promotion. So the total allocation to this budget for the financial year under review is $1 billion. And the largest chunk goes to the mineral policy and promotion. Then the breakdown, just the breakdown of it, is that the department receives $1 billion, and this is about 0.21% of the total allocation by vote, national vote. Total allocation, that basically means that it's 1 billion of 499 billion allocated to the country before adding other direct like national, the presidency, the provincial equitable shares, and members' interest as well. So that represents about 0.21% of them. Now, of this budget, 1 billion, 57% allocated is allocated to current payments. Current payments, which includes your compensation of employees, as well as goods and services. And then 438 million, or 42.3% of this 1 billion, is allocated to transfer and subsidies. Those are transfers to the entities of the Department of Mineral Resources. And then the 1% is allocated to CAPEX, so payments to capital assets. And then the programs distribute the allocation to the programs administration is 247.9 million, and that is about 23%, about 24% of the budget, of the total budget or total allocation to this to mineral resources is goes to administration. Then promotion of mine safety and health takes about 14.2%, or 147.5. And then mineral regulation, 160.4 million, about 16%. And mineral policy and promotion takes about 46.4%. And that gives us a total of 1 billion and represented at 100%. Now I'm zooming into the provincial allocations now. Started off with Eastern Cape. This is purely based on the appropriations by the MECs on the budget vote, or rather the budget speech taken from the budget speech of the different provinces. Now, I've given some facts and figures of each province, and then zoom into the and then look at the budgets and to an extent look at the departmental allocations and then also align that to the how the provinces have aligned their budget allocations to the new growth path and also to what the president and to what president declared as the 2011 as the year of job creation. Now with Eastern Cape, some facts and figures. Eastern Cape province, some facts and figures. The province is dominated by export-led automotive sector manufactured by manufacturing and also tertiary sector. The tertiary sector, your services industry, insurance, banking, and other financial services and all non-financial services. Now this makes our economy especially vulnerable to international markets, especially if you look at the change, especially after the global crisis, how these sectors were affected. And how the exports were affected by global crisis. Now, during the year 2010-11, Kuka appointed 82 interns, supported 53 intern placements with consultants, and trained a total of 6,826 people. So that was some of the responses to the crisis in the Eastern Cape. And about 34.9 million rand was allocated to LED projects, local committee projects, and this was directed towards the establishment of sustainable industries and settlements in underdeveloped rural parts. I think that also speaks to the rural development program in support of rural economic change and transformation. And unfortunately, due to non-compliance on the part of local municipality, much money has not been dispersed. I think an example of that is the King Sabat Dalinje, where there was some funds allocated, but they have not yet been used. So those are some of the examples of non-compliance in these provinces. And then loan funding was extended by the Eastern Cape Development Corporation. They secured a further, through this loan, secured a further 1,700 jobs, primarily the OR Tambo region. Now the bulk were in services and manufacturing sectors with 704 in services and 385 jobs in the manufacturing. This also is a response to the knock of the crisis in both the manufacturing and also the services. So it's try to revive the situation or the geography, the economy of Eastern Cape. Then there are also high impact priority projects at the ECDC, Eastern Cape Development Corporation, are being proposed with about 113 million worth of projects being piloted. 362 million worth of projects undergo scoping and about 2.3 billion worth of projects under implementation. And then the mining explorations account for about a further 1.5 billion and those are in the pipeline. And then the job potential for these projects is estimated to be around 4,500. So this also aligns to the new growth path in response aligns to the new growth path in job creation. Now, mining issues in the Eastern Cape. Now, if you look, the ICC also plays a role there in Eastern Cape, especially with its stake. It has a 10% stake in the Galagadi manganese. And it has committed about 3.5 billion towards the implementation of this mining project. Now, this manganese project is in the process of establishing integrated operation encompassing mining, ore processing, and also as well as the smelter. So the total capacity outlay to implement this project is estimated to be 11 billion. The mining and ore processing operations are also located in the Northern Cape, while the smelter operations will be located in the Kuga IDZ. The production of the first sinter product is expected to start in July 2012. And the shareholders, speaking to this project, shareholders have committed about 4.5 billion. And the further 6.5 billion will be raised from various development financed institutions such as your ITC, Kula and Samaf, especially for small medium enterprises, as well as some commercial banks that are willing to come on board in this sense. And in addition, 320,000 ton per annum ferromanganese alloy production facilities to be constructed at Kuga in the Eastern Cape. And ferromanganese is an essential ingredient in the production of steel, a commodity expected to show growth in the next decade. This basically a reflection of the increase to South Africa's mineral resources as well as export of cars, align that to the economic recovery as well as global recovery. Then the budget allocation for Eastern Cape, there's basically three programs. Which is also administration, and then program two is divided into a number of sub-programs: ECDC, that is the Economic Development Corporation, Gambling and Betting Board, Liquor Board, East London Industrial Development Zone, and then program three is divided into three: Environmental Affairs, and then Eastern Cape Parks and Tourism Agencies, and then as well as transfers to municipalities. The total budget for Eastern Cape is, for the financial year 2011-2012, 12 is 884.2 million. And then moving to Free State. Also Free State, some facts and figures were with the Free State, that the Free State province economy is performing below national average. Growth in 2010 was 1.9%, and is projected to increase to 2.3% in 2011, when national projections at the 2011 are around 3.4%. So it's basically performing below national average. Now, the province's major contribution to the provincial economy comes from finance, which is also the tertiary industry, real estate, and other business services. So the services seem to be dominating this the economy of Free State. So Free State also boasts of a large gold mining complex, the Free State Consolidated Goldfields, with a mining area of 32,918 hectares. And there's a potential for further growth and job creation in this area. And then about 82% of the province mineral production is derived from gold mining. And gold mines also supply silver and a considerable concentration of uranium. Then 12 gold mines operate from the towns of Vergon, Virginia, and Odendaalsrus in the province. And roughly 30% of South Africa's gold is obtained from this region, and it's ranked the fifth in the world in terms of gold production. So that's Free State. So these are some states that represent, that show the potential of Free State in contributing to the geographical gross product, as well as to the national gross domestic product. And then unemployment is one of the challenges in Free State. Unemployment increased due to crisis as well, increased from 21.9% in the fourth quarter of 2008 to 24% in the quarter of 2010. That also links to your national unemployment rate as of quarter four, 2010, of 25.3%. So there's need to work more closely and decisively with the private sector to expand and develop production, and also develop the value chain in agriculture, mining, manufacturing, tourism, and trading services. These are seen as some of the sectors that are labor intensive. So, then we'll be able to address the issue of unemployment in the province. And then the mining province, especially Vergon, must take advantage of the current favorable increase in commodity prices. So, as we presented last week on the EDD, so that there was an increase, a huge demand for South Africa's mineral resources, and that contributed to economic recovery. So, much needs to be done in that province in terms of mine and creating jobs, and also for future growth of the province. Then there are large deposits of coal, and the country's largest deposit of bentonite are also found in the Fezile Dabi district, one of the areas in the Free State. This bituminous coal is converted into petrochemicals in Sasolburg. Sasolburg being declared one of the monopsonies market structure, where it has a large number of workers or employees around. Now, in terms of budget allocation of the province, now it's divided into three here in this case. We have the equitable share, which amounts to about 17.5 million, and then the conditional grants amount to 5 million, and the own revenue amounting to, from the liquor licenses, the gambling licenses, so this own revenue amounts to 0.72. 720 million. Now the total allocation to the budget to the Eastern to the Free State is 23.2 billion. Now in terms of departmental allocations of this, with the Office of the Premier all the way up to the Department of Police, Roads and Transport, and of this the most important one, the largest chunk of this budget goes to is allocated to. To human settlements, about 802 million human settlements, and then that's followed by, human settlements of 988, followed by social development of 802 million. Sorry, I need to be checking. My screen is not clear, so I keep on checking on the... And then Department of Police, Road and Transport, I think that's the largest because it's 1.5 billion compared to the others. And then that gives us, so that gives us a total of 23.2 million, which coincides with this allocation, 23.2 million. And then the province of KZN, then KZN, in 2009, the provincial economy shrunk by 2.2%. Which has a devastating effect on employment as a result of the economic crisis. Then that also contributed to the number of discouraged workers, increasing our unemployment rate. The broad definition of unemployment, you'll see that in the broad definition of unemployment, where it increased the number from 183,000 in the first quarter of 2008 to 495,000 in the third quarter of 2009. That shows a 170% increase in the number of discouraged workers. So you can see the movement from actively looking for a job within 28 days and moving to being discouraged and then contributing to the broader definition of unemployment, which is currently sits at around 37-38%. And some reports confirm 43% of the broad definition of unemployment. Now, over the MTF period, provincial growth is estimated to grow between 3.5%. That's also the projections of the national growth, falling short of the required South African reserve, South African economic growth of 7%. Now, the 7% comes from the new growth path, that the economy needs to grow at a rate of 7% in order to create the targeted number of jobs. Now, but for the financial current, for the financial year 2011-2012, the economic growth is estimated to grow at 3.3 to 3.5%, and that will also be able to create a certain number of jobs in the province. The mining and quarry sector accounts for less than 2% of the provincial gross domestic product. But the province's mineral sands and beneficiation plants are important to the national mineral sector. And KwaZulu-Natal is the home to two aluminium smelters in Richards Bay, three steel plants, a manganese smelter, and four concrete factories there, like the NPC. And then the Richards Bay mineral supplies the world with about 25% of its demand. It has extensive iron ore holdings along the coast and is the largest titanium slag produced in the world. Now, KZN Sands as well and Exxaro's subsidiary is other major mineral company operating in Utungu district. So it focuses on smelting limonite to produce titanium slag. This is like some salty type of sandy material. And then the northern KwaZulu-Natal coal fields are being revived with the further exploration or further projects being piloted there. And then there's the Miranda Minerals, which has several projects, and there are several projects like the Miranda Minerals, which also are different levels of development stages, focusing on the Clip River coal fields around Dundee and Glencoe. And then awaiting the results of the environmental impact assessment, which was due in April 2010. Still waiting for that environmental impact assessment. And and already resources of 35 million tons have been indicated and inferred in that area in some of these projects on Benside. And then if this project is approved, that is in Benside, mining is expected to begin the last quarter of 2011. So that also will further create more jobs in the current financial year. Then there are also small-scale coal mining in Umzumtoti coal fields and other several sites. And then there's also carbonates from three large quarries around the Marble Delta, then formation, and from Port Shepstone. Then in these areas, you also find the high-grade material, which is used as filler in paint, paper, toothpaste. These are some of the value chains in the mineral sector. And then there's also low-grade material, which is used in rubber. And then the last one of these carbonate projects is the quarry, the third quarry, which provides limestone for the major NPCs, Zima Cement, nearby. Then, in terms of job creation, what the project, the province envisages, that through human resource training and development, one of the key components, especially leading towards education, the issue of bursaries, both internal and external bursaries. And in the financial year, approximately 72 million on external bursaries have been allocated, and about 19 million of these internal bursaries for the financial year are expected to be dished out or offered. And then also learnership and internships. Interns and learners should constitute 5% of the total staff established of a department. And then also concentration on FET colleges, especially on the national certificate, vocational as well as national education programs in the FET sectors. Public Service Academy as well, which will receive 50 million from National Skills Fund over the 3 years for learnerships, apprenticeships and skills programs in construction, manufacturing, engineering, benefiting public servants and the unemployed. So these are some of the initiatives from by KZN or in terms of job creation, also aligning that to the new growth path. And then the budget allocation, I'm not sure if it's clear from there. Now, this is a different kind of allocation. It's also a provincial allocation. This is a 7-year period allocation of the budget in KZN. There's quite a number, there's quite a lot of figures there. But of importance is this area where we're focusing on the current financial year. And then just to highlight, the large chunk of that budget goes to education, which we saw as well in some provinces. You see that there's so much emphasis on education. About 32 billion goes to education, followed by health. About 24.5 billion goes to health. So there's also a correlation between education and health leading to employment and poverty alleviation. And then there's also the need for transport. There's also a large chunk also going to transport. This is part of the infrastructural response to infrastructural needs and the need to improve infrastructure as one of the sectors identified in the new growth path, that infrastructure is very crucial and essential for growth. So that was from KZN. And then in the northern west, northwest province, now the main contributors or some facts about the northwest is that the main economic sector is agriculture. And because of its comparative advantage, to a large extent, and also to a competitive advantage, but it's more on the comparative advantage in agriculture, contributing about 30% of its provincial gross domestic product. Mining is the second largest sector there in the province, contributing to about 18%. To GDP, and also 18% of labor force is found in this sector. And the Northwest is the fourth largest provincial contributor to gross domestic product, which is about 5.7% after counting KZN, Western and Western Cape. Now the province produces 84% in terms of mineral resources. It produces 84% of platinum, 46% of granite, and 25% of gold in the country. And that is also distributed to the worldwide. Now, the budget allocation for them also in this session, equitable share amounting to 19.2 billion, conditional grants about 4.5 billion, and revenue about 66 million. And the total allocation to this is 24.4 million. Now, in terms of departmental allocation, they are also running from the Office of the Premier to Social Development. These are also have their own targets in terms of job creation. So these amounts speak also to the job creation and the job targets that are in place to in the province. Now, the largest allocation there as well is the Department of Education, same as the KZN, the Department of Education. That also speaks to the emphasis that there's a need to educate the community or improve the education system. And there's a quite a positive correlation between the economic growth, employment, and education, that investment in education may lead to people being more employable, people being employable, and also contribute to economic growth, and that also would be able to achieve address the issues of poverty and as well as inequality issues. And then the second largest also is human settlement, public safety, and liaison. So that's the departmental allocation in the province, and they also tries to achieve the issue of employment. Now, important to note, this Department of Education, the allocation also speaks to some of the facts that were also raised by the province, the KZN province, and how they're going to assist in terms of creating jobs. And particularly, it's the emphasis on the youth. How do we then absorb the youth, especially in the age group of 18 to 29? How do you assist in this in terms of... Then Limpopo province. Now, Limpopo depends largely on resources, or mineral resources. Now, it's primarily the driver of economic activity after government services. So we have all various sectors or segments in your economic classification, but primarily, the primary driver in Limpopo is the mineral resources. And that also speaks to your labor-intensive area. So mining constitutes 27% of Limpopo's GDP, and then the performance of the mining sector is largely influenced by the demand in the international markets, particularly China and India, as that also part of the recovery, the global recovery and South Africa's economic recovery due to increased demand for mineral resources led by these two countries. And the province exports iron ore, which constitutes 16% of Limpopo's provincial exports. So it's mostly an export-led province. And other substantial mineral reserves include platinum group, which includes chrome, vanadium, nickel, and titanium metal. There's also diamonds, also mining of coal, chrome, and copper. Electricity generation, such as the Matimba power station in the Palal. Is another major economic activity. And then metal steel mines coking coal for its blast furnaces, and also the production of low-grade coal, which is also supplied to various economic segments. Now, the main economic sector is agriculture, which is contribution. Now, if you look at the crisis, the impact of the crisis to the province of Limpopo. The economic crisis led to a negative 1.8 economic growth in the province, and jobs were for that reputation. And jobs were lost in the number of mining sector, partly because the decline in the demand for mineral resources. So there's a huge, that's a demand-driven kind of environment. And so that decline in the financial crisis led to the decline in that financial crisis, leading to the decline in economic growth of Limpopo, contributed also to the unemployment, same as the analysis we gave of the KwaZulu-Natal. So unemployment decreased from 25% to 16% in 2010. That is after the response to the crisis were put in place. Employment in the province is expected to increase in 2011, aligning that to the new growth path, and also some certain sectors that have been identified, but potential sectors identified for job creation. And provision of basic services, which is still a challenge in Limpopo, is at 83.6% for water, 58.9% for sanitation, and 81% for electrification. So a lot still needs to be done. Now, Limpopo expects to create more than 400,000 national target of 5 million by 2020. And then in the budget allocation of 2011-2010, the aim is to ward off the negative effects of the crisis on the poor. So it's a more of a job creation kind of budget. The budget is made mainly for creating jobs. Then this is a list of some of the mining companies in the province, ranging from the SAMCO, as a joint venture between the Limpopo Economic Development and China's Eastern Asia Metal, Waterberg, South Pensberg, Petersberg, Greenpoint. So this is just a list of some of the companies in Limpopo, and you can actually see the value chain and quite a number of mineral resources mined in that area. And then the budget allocation, total allocation of 43.8 million, billion, with equitable share amounting to 36.4, conditional grant 6.9, and own revenue amounting to just 58. And then the departmental allocations also. These are not departmental allocations. The number of jobs that the departments are seeking to achieve at the end of the year. So the activities directly will create the activities. The departmental activities will directly create more than 160,000 jobs by the end of this financial year. And 40% of these jobs are targeted at youth. And if you look at the table, there are quite a few other departments I couldn't pick up, so the total does not correlate, does not link to that. But if you look at the breakdown of some of these departments, see that the largest is seen in the Department of Economic Development and Environmental and Tourism, so that's the quite largest number of jobs to be created in that area. And followed by the Department of Local Government and Housing, as well as Department of Transport. Now, those are also aligned to your new growth path in terms of the six sectors identified in the by the new growth path. Gauteng province. Now, in terms of land area, the smallest in the country, but contributes about 30% to the country's growth, the country's GDP. And then the GDPR, that GDP per region, declined due to the economic crisis, 11.3 billion in 2009, and growth rate also was to minus 1.8 as the economy entered the recession. The main contributors to the gross domestic product per region are finance and business services subsector. So that just shows the role of the tertiary industry in these provinces. And at national level, you're looking at the contribution by the service sector, about 60 to 70% to the gross domestic product of the country. So services are quite a large, and they are basically labor intensive. But one of the areas of focus on in terms of service sector is the infrastructure in the services sector, which tends to be too technological. So creating that trade-off between technology and labor. So in terms of the sectors in the Gauteng province, they contribute about 25%. Government, personnel and social services sector makes the second largest contributor to the growth to the GDP of Gauteng. Manufacturing is the third largest contributor to gross domestic product per region in Gauteng. And the reason why manufacturing and subsectors are the major contributors in the Gauteng province is that Gauteng houses most of the headquarters of these in the manufacturing industry, as well as the financial services or financial institutions. So most headquarters are in that province. In terms of job creation, aligning to GDP, the Gauteng Employment Growth and Development Strategy has key five pillars public infrastructure investment also identified in the new growth path industrial policy, aligned to the industrial policy action plan, the green economy, one of the sectors identified in new growth path, and the inclusive economy initiatives and social impact. So those are the five key pillars of the And 66 million rand has been set aside to support labor absorptive sectors with backward and forward linkages. That include the tooling initiative. We have an example of the tooling initiative with the Eastern Free State, the NTIP, National Tooling Initiative, funded by the DTI. And then we have our foundries, as well as promoting and supporting tourism. Then also the need to address socio-economic infrastructure investment is set as a priority in the province. And such socio-economic infrastructure include rail, roads, freight, transport, information and communication technology, including the rollout of the broadband in the province. Through the EPWP, the Gauteng targets to create about 175,000 work opportunities of 100 days each, as well as over 88,000 full-time equivalents, targeting one individual per household. So there's quite some extensive work to be done in terms of how do you allocate this, and the for every growth, percentage of growth, how much does it create in terms of jobs, or for every investment in terms of, for every amount invested, then what will be the number of jobs created in the province. So their targets are clear that there's 125 work opportunities within 100 days, and as well as the full-time equivalent. There's also the important to note the community ward programs or community-based projects will generate at least 6,000 jobs in Mtsweding, Ekurhuleni, and Tshwane, about 99. Ekurhuleni. And Tshwane. And 98 million is set aside to fund these job projects. In terms of budget allocation, the accounting is allocated about 68 billion for its for this financial year. And largely, the equitable share amount goes to this 50.4 billion, and that will also be reflected in the provincial or departmental allocations. Then Western Cape. Western Cape, Chair, there isn't much to say here, Western Cape. The complex budget allocation there, so some of the figures don't correlate. But just a snapshot of what's happening in Western Cape. About 400 million are set aside over the next three years for inner city regeneration projects that will attract investment. So investment is one of the key important aspects or components of growth. It's seen as one of the key important aspects of growth in Western Cape. Also, 300 in addition to that 400, 300 million has also been set aside for new roads. That is also speaking to infrastructure, and I think we've seen around the infrastructure, especially the roads, where with the coming of the BRT, as well as the cycling, and also the inroads in some parts of the country of the province. And then there's also 204 million set aside in two outer years, that's over the MTEF period, for new economic development and job creation projects. Now, in terms of departmental allocation, the total allocation for the province, it's around 44.4 billion. Now, these do not correlate with that 44.4, because there's some departments where there's quite a few some confusion in terms of the figures. So I could only capture the departmental allocations, and then I left out the other aspects. So the allocation is basically, in this case, the allocation amounts to 38.8 billion, and those are the departmental allocations. And if you look at the table there, the largest allocation goes towards education. So that also seems like there's a trend. Sorry?
To have
Sorry, 13.4. Thanks for 13.4, and followed by health, by education. So that's the importance of both health and education. So I was also trying to make the link between health, education, and employment opportunities leading to economic growth. So that just shows the economic correlation of these aspects.
Go back to that
previous
time. The blacked out items, are they highlighted or
are they information? Yes, the blacked, those are the way I have challenged in terms of funding the information, the figures.
Okay.
Yes. So I still need to look at the figures per se.
We'll target on the funding and call the premier to get the information. I'm really sorry.
Now, the Mpumalanga province, now the tabling of Mpumalanga, which was supposed to be on the 2nd of March, was postponed to 24th and 25th of March. And then due to time constraint, I was unable to download the information because it was presented last week, Thursday, the appropriation of Mpumalanga. But what I did was just to get a snapshot of, which I did this morning, a snapshot of Mpumalanga, the allocation to Mpumalanga. Now, the equitable share is 23.4, and conditional grants amounted to 5.2, and the own revenue was 63 million. So that is in total about 29.223 billion to allocated to Mpumalanga. And also, Mpumalanga also emphasized the need for, you know, the education, need for projects in the rural areas, as well as creating jobs in those areas, and also because of the issues around infrastructure, speak also to the road that is used by the trucks, especially in the coal from Emalahleni in the Witbank area, the coal need to be planted. So those are actually damaging the road. So there's a need to address the infrastructure in terms of roads in the area. And also addressing those infrastructure issues will also assist in creating jobs in this through the infrastructure allocation. Then Northern Cape, which I apologize, I'm still trying to get information on the Northern Cape. Now, Northern Cape, I tried to download. I couldn't get the information in time. I managed to download the Northern Cape province this morning. And in terms of allocation, if I can just point a few things, there's also a need to address infrastructural problems and then to also link the economic activities of the Northern Cape into the broader South African economy, so that it also plays a crucial part in terms of creating jobs, also contributing to economic growth. The only figure I could get here was the allocation, the conditional grants in the conditional grants, which amounts to 2.2 billion. If through your chair, if possible, maybe I can give more detail in the Northern Cape and Mpumalanga in the next presentation when we deal with the energy issues. On the straight line, thank you, sir. And then key considerations. Now, these are not debates from the key consideration we deliberated on the last presentation, but the interesting to mention is the issue of monitoring progress with regards to development of the beneficiation strategy, which is still being reviewed. And once it's tabled, I think we'll be able to look at the issues around beneficiation strategies. And I think that also links to the question that was asked in the previous presentation by Honorable Nguni on the issue of beneficiation, as well as which mines have been identified or which mines are going to contribute to this. And then also at national level, the feeding of overcapital, Parliament can play a role, NCOP especially in this case, at provincial level in terms of identifying those identifying those sectors that to create jobs, also looking at how the provinces their targets and how they are and how they propose doing so in terms of achieving those targets. And then there's also there's a need for clarity on the state-owned mining company. Now this is the which was also announced by the president during the State of Nation address about the endorsing the African Exploration, Mining and Finance Corporation as a state-owned company. So they also need to clarify whether that will be whether that will fall under the Department of Mineral Resources or will become a state-owned enterprise. So clarity will also be needed in that in this regard. And also looking at the new growth path indicators at provincial level, looking at the GDP, the growth in those countries. Most countries have most provinces have indicated that growth is expected to grow to about 3 to 3.5%. So they're within that region. Looking at also absorption rate, the emphasis on employment, emphasis on education, and emphasis on youth employment, looking at that as indicators, as well as education, which is one of the indicators of the growth, new growth path, as well as poverty alleviation indicators. So you're looking at basic needs, like such as your water, sanitation, electricity, which one the Limpopo gave a breakdown of these indicators and the challenges facing these provinces and what else needs to be done in order to reach the targets. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Thank
you, Mr. Maslango, for that budget analysis. Honourable members, we'll open up for clarity. Just for clarity on what Mr. Maslango will be briefing us on. Seems to me there's no hands. Thank you very much. Oh, Honourable Sinclair.
Chair, I think it's good that we get this provincial perspective and so on, but the one issue that I'm struggling at the moment is in terms of the contextualization of the presentation. I fail to see how we get to the provincial budget, given the fact that it doesn't have a mining competency, and try to link it to the mineral resources budget. I can't bring those two together in terms of matching them. I understand that there's a strong drive from a provincial perspective in terms of the government's growth plan and whatever to create jobs and so on. But somewhere in between, there's something missing between the DMR's budget and the provincial budget. So I'm not, with due respect to the honourable, to the official, I don't understand what was the purpose of the presentation. Was it to do a presentation on DMR budget? Because if that was the case, then we need much more than just sort of having a bird's eye view about the South African mining environment and so on and so forth. The second issue is there, why is Northern Cape and Mpumalanga information not available? Is it not on the website? Is it not accessible? Because it's a very, very serious indictment if it's not accessible on the website.
On the first part, remember we, in our last meeting, we said that the researcher will do some budget analysis for us with a view of having or getting the briefing, budget briefing notes. I don't know if you were part of that meeting, but the meeting agreed to that. And then we said we will take the three departments that we've got oversight over and the entities until such time as our strat plans, because our strat plan the budget votes of these departments will only happen after our strat plan. So in the meantime, he's getting the research and just present the committee with that, which is what we have asked him to do. In our last meeting, we've asked him to go into in-depth provinces analysis, getting the provincial analysis as well. Now, most of the provinces did have their budget votes, and some of the provinces are still in the process of having their budget votes in this regard. So I'm not covering up, but I just think that Mr. Maslangu did what we requested him to do as a committee. Mr. Maslangu?
Thanks, Chair. In addition, Chair, it's just, the presentation structure is that since we're dealing with mineral resources, the focus was basically just the mineral resources, both at national level and then at provincial level. And also since this financial year has been declared a job creation, also align that to the new growth path. So that's why there was emphasis on job creation as well as just the mineral. So it was just touching on those two things. And then the issue relating to Mpumalanga and Northern Cape. Now, with Mpumalanga, the budget was postponed. When I started this presentation, there was no presentation on Mpumalanga because the budget was speech was postponed to the 24th and 25th of March, which happened last Thursday. I managed to download the document, the Mpumalanga budget speech, this morning, but I was unable to put the more issues on this. Now, with the Northern Cape one, I couldn't access it until this morning as well, because this presentation, I started working on it last week, Wednesday, so it was big, in the interest of time, I couldn't do that. But hopefully when we start looking at the presentation on the energy issues, I will have more information on all the provinces.
Thank you, Mr. Maslangu. Let me take this opportunity of thanking you for work well done, and for enlightening the members. And I see that the Honourable Sinclair is happy with your answer. Thank you, Honourable Members. You may.
As a matter of interest, what is the Chinese and the Indian investment in minerals in South Africa? I think we're being colonized right under our noses and we don't know it.
Recolonized.
Mr. Matango, can you answer that?
No.
So will you do us a research on that, please? The Chinese and Indians investment into the mineral resources and economies in South Africa. All of us are clear?
Chair, and the other issue, I don't know where this terms come from, but more and more I hear people speak about backward and forward linkages. Maybe Mr. Maslangu must do some research. What is this backward and forward linkages? It seems that, with due respect, when somebody wants to confuse you these days, they speak about backward and forward linkages. I don't know what
any language.
I don't know what it is. So please
come to the agency.
Okay.
All
right. Honourable members, we can take this party politics. Discuss it over a cup of tea, not over anything else, because then the honourable leaves will get sharper. So. Okay, thank you very much again, Mr. Maslangu, and for your team that helped you. Members, we now move to point two. It's the consideration and adoption of the oversight report on the Eastern Cape. I hope you had a chance of reading it. We made a request last week that the report will be distributed. It has been distributed before the weekend, and you had enough time to read it, so this morning we don't want to delay. We want to adopt the report so that we can ATC it, and that we can go. We've also had a document on the ESCOM submission to the ESCOM submission to the Parliamentary Select Committee. on economic development subsequent to the oversight program meetings in the Eastern Cape on 22nd February. You had a look at that report as well. Members, can I have a mover and adopter for this report? An adopter and a mover for this report? Or is there still things that you want to... Honourable Flanagan.
It's basically on page 4, 5.1. Now this is the report given by Coga Municipality. Am I correct? And can we add to that that Hanky, Patensi, Lurie and Thornhill are all supplied by Eskom? Otherwise it looks as though it's a small municipality and this municipality of Coga is sufficient in its own ability, which is it's not. I would say a third of the electricity is supplied by Eskom.
But I don't know if you can add it.
No, we can. We can say
by 5.1, the municipality supply electricity to the following towns: Jeffreys Bay, Humansdorp, St. Francis Bay, Cape St. Francis, and Oyster Bay. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And then the towns of Hanky, Patensi,
Lurie and Thornhill.
Lurie and Thornhill, Hanky, Patensi, Lurie and Thornhill are being supplied by Eskom. Electricity are being supplied by Eskom. Okay. Any other more corrections? Adding? Honourable Flanagan.
5.1.1, the third bullet. Proposed placement 4,000 megawatt nuclear power station. Third bullet, 5.1.1. Third bullet. Above growth, I want you to put in 4,000 megawatt nuclear power station. It was mentioned that the proposed placement 4,000 megawatt nuclear power station near Cape St. Francis will have a profound effect on the growth in the area should the project come to fruition. Mm-hmm. 4,000 megawatt I want to put in there, because you must understand it's 4 times the size of Fuburg.
Thank you.
You look at page 5 at the ESCOM document. Transmission integration with state and sites.
That's 400
kilovolt transmission lines, but it doesn't state here 4,000 of what did you say? 4,400
megawatts.
Yeah, but you see, we can't include it. It does not state in the document as well, Honorable Fattinger. Because it states here 400 kilovolt transmission lines.
Do you understand the size of the nuclear?
Yeah,
plant?
I understand.
Okay. Do you want to hide from the truth? It's okay for me.
No, it's not
say
hiding from the truth.
Thank you very much. Honestly, I did not go through the minutes, so I thought that you were saying that because you gave us an opportunity to interact with the document and send comments. If I heard you well, it means there were no comments from them. Now, I want to assume that we were then okay, as Mr. Honorable Liz is. Now, I want to suggest that we don't, because otherwise we'll go page by page, we should be a lot of problem. And also attempt to, on the basis of the information that you may possess, then attempt to I don't want to say mislead the committee, attempt to let us do things or add things that were not said. So I would humbly request Honorable Chairperson that if we had not submitted as requested, it means we came with the meeting or the document. I therefore propose the adoption of the report.
Honorable Bihari, then Honorable.
Thank you, Chairperson. I was saying when you were setting the program with the document that was out, so I don't know whether I'm going to be in line with what you wanted or not, but let me say from page 5, 6.1, concerns raised by the communities. According to what happened when we were there, is that all the communities were not represented. It was only the white group. The blacks were not in the meeting. I don't know how are we going to adopt these minutes while the other views were not. And it's not even recorded in the meeting that there was a lot of complaints that people were not invited, they did not know about the meeting. Thank you, Chairperson.
I'm going to add to, there was a proposal from Honorable Maine, and I would just like to have that seconded. Before you make a counter-proposal, first need to second it to that, and then we'll give a counter-proposal. Honorable Kamede?
Thanks, Chair. I wanted to second that, even though myself and Honorable Lee, we meet on page 10. But I would want to second the proposal.
Honorable Flamingo?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to have the minutes accepted with the inclusion of the fact that Eskom supplies electricity to some of the municipalities as we have listed in the beginning.
Honorable Sinclair?
Chair, I honestly believe that we can't just accept this document. specifically if you look at the committee recommendations under point 40, under point 40. In essence, it says nothing. It just starts to say issues that was raised in terms of the government policies and objectives. But more than that, there's actually no recommendation. So I would really request that if we want to put recommendations, let's do it here, but do justice to the report. This is a very important visit. It was a very important visit, and it will be a very important report given the dynamics specifically regarding the possibilities of the nuclear plant at Tyspan.
You know, honourable members, it really boggles my mind, honestly, that we request you a week ago to put recommendations and forward recommendations to the secretary. And then it happens, it's not once that it happens, now it happens all the time. I don't know if it's deliberately or maybe you didn't have time or maybe you didn't receive the document or what, but, you know, I mean, it would make life for the committee much more easier if we had the recommendations. We could have gone through it this morning, the written recommendations or recommendations you would have submitted to the committee secretary as requested from you. So there has been a proposal of adopting. There's another proposal from Honourable Sinclair that we should do the recommendations here this morning. Is there a seconder to that proposal, Honourable Gamere?
No, Chair, but on a point of order, these are already recommendations. Whether it's one or two, one it says the committee recommended the following. Issues and concerns raised must be looked in conjunction with broader government objectives and policies such as. And it goes further to say that, you know, we'll revisit the areas once information has been shared to all affected parties and when the EIA's report has become available. You know, these are the recommendations. And secondly, as you correctly said, Chair, we stressed last week that we should submit recommendations in time, go through and then submit whatever we want to submit.
So the proposal of then the seconded version of Honourable Maini stands so that we just include then the towns as requested by Honourable Van Lingen. The towns that were raised before the proposal was on the table of Lurie and Anki Teichmann. Anki? Patensi, Antonio, and Lurie. Can we include that?
Yeah. Maybe, Chair, I think we should put as a proposal what Honourable Dehale raised. That, you know, we do something about that. That there wasn't proper consultation, that we should actually consult the people.
But won't that be then the point of Honourable Sinclair then, that we have to put the recommendation? Because if we allow, after the point by Honourable Van Lingen was raised before the proposal of Honourable Maine, which was seconded by yourself and proposed. So, but let me hear Honourable Van Lingen.
Okay, look very under 13, the third bullet. Communities at the public meeting were not fully geographically represented at the institute dominated in the meeting.
Oh, okay.
So it is there. However, this is a can of worms because there were radio adverts and so there were two newspaper adverts and something like 4,000 flyers that went out. So you can't say the people were not informed.
But it doesn't say they're informed. It just says that we're not fully geographically represented. So, I mean, we can take it that all have been informed. It doesn't state anything about the informed.
just say communities at the public meeting were not fully geographically represented.
All right,
represented.
Although the communities were informed, they were not properly represented.
But, Honorable Fahingen, I think that it does not state there that the communities were not informed or were informed or not informed. It was just a representation of the communities. And I mean, it was said at the public meeting that the communities were not are not represented there properly, which states there was said at the public meeting. Honorable Dikhali?
Thank you, Chairperson. We are representing our people here. And if the Honorable Member is talking about the newspapers that have been read by the particular community that managed to attend the meeting, and where the rural areas, where the people, or our people from the rural areas are staying, they said that they don't even have those newspapers. We're talking about money here. If people don't have money and don't have access to the newspapers, how are they going to know about the meeting? Our people were not represented and they did not know about the meeting. And if you can check on page 14 and page 5, I really can't understand. I don't understand. I think this information was supposed to be here under 6.11. Those people, we were all there. We had them. And even one member of the community said, we cannot invite them because this is the area for the whites. And this is a small area for those people to come and attend the meeting here. Our people were not represented. There's no way that we can take this. No. Thank you.
Honorable Sinclair, show your hand up.
Jay, you know, I get very concerned when people speak about our people. I don't agree with that pronouncement to speak about our people. It's a very dangerous thing to say. And if I can touch on that third one, I can never support something like that. Communities at the public meeting were not fully geographically represented as the interest groups dominated the meeting. We've sat in many meetings where, if I can use a very racist term, where there was only black people. And nothing was said about that. So what I plead for is that we must have a balanced approach when we address this issue. To my best understanding, there was a lot of representativity from various spheres of the community, including the municipalities and including also the black and the other community. The second issue is, in terms of the committee findings, we spend a lot of time and a lot of money. I think I was maybe with two or three other people, members, the only people that went through the whole tour. But we can't just have three committee findings. It's unacceptable. Even if you look at a basic thing like the integrated energy center that we visited there at Kunu, there was a serious plea that this committee must assist to make it possible that the water problems be resolved. It's not there. So there's a number of issues. Even if you go back to the plea from the gentleman at the factory, the processing agro factory, there was a serious plea for assistance. So those committee findings, I mean, it's very basic. It's too basic. We can't accept it. So I understand, and I hear what you say about your previous remarks that, you know, we should have presented our inputs and so on. But last week was a very difficult week for me, and I suppose for many other members with this nomination stories and so on. So, in the interest of the integrity of this comment, I plead that we just have another week to look specifically at the findings and recommendations to make it a worthwhile exercise and to add value to the exercise.
Honorable Maine.
I'm afraid that we are opening the page on the report.
I must upfront say that some of us are not afraid to engage with debates, but to request that Chairperson, I have made a proposal with the understanding that we have circulated a document last week. Whether we're in court or we're in the list, we have a responsibility to a parliamentarian. And hence I've said I'm upfront, honest, I have not read the document. But in the interest of this committee, because we cannot be bogged down on one report only. There are other issues that the committee must focus on. And nobody has counteracted my proposal several times. And it has been seconded. Now, if there's a dissenting view, honorable members should say that no, I am saying we should not adopt the report, so that then we follow the normal parliamentary procedures in terms of dealing with this. Now, I don't know if it is for the first time that people are dealing with reports. Findings cannot be a document full. It's summary. Now, if you feel that two or three things are omitted, you are given an opportunity for a week to do that. Now, we can't. Every time we should adopt reports, let's take it back. We want to move forward, not backward. Now, Chairperson, I would appeal that my proposal stands, unless any honorable member says that was a problem, then we follow the right procedure and deal with other things of committee. Thank you, Chair.
All of us in place? I've got a problem with the report, Chair, for the record. Have you got a dissenting view?
I've got a dissenting view.
Okay, where's your seconder to that?
What is your dissenting view?
All that I'm asking is, Chair, let's do justice to the report and the what's his name, the money spent. I understand the dynamics, but certainly you must be reasonable. So let's just have another week, submit it to the Secretariat, and make it a comprehensive report. It's like practicing for a race, and in the last 5 meters you run out of steam. A very good report, but feeble committee findings and committee recommendations. 90% of the report is very good, but 10%, with due respect, is non-existent. And that's the task of the members. It's nothing to do with the officials. They did a great job. But for circumstances certainly beyond my control, I didn't submit any of those. And I want to submit.
I will withdraw my proposal.
Was not even seconded. So there was no proposal. Was not seconded.
Just listen to me. We sit in Port Elizabeth without water. There should be a recommendation on that. The electricity grid is not stable. The Petro SA development is needing funding. There are so many things that we should look into, that we should recommend further investigations or explanations for. And we're asking, is it unreasonable to ask for another week? It's not so bad.
You know what, honourable members, it is really, because it's not the first time. And what guarantee do we have that another week will go by? I mean, with all our reports, it nearly takes about a year for us to adopt reports, because we are pleading with members to make inputs, and what's coming forth is no input. So, I mean, we're going down the same route to wait another year again, because now, given a week extension, it goes on for 2 weeks, it goes on for a month, it goes on for 2 months, and nothing comes forward. The next meeting, it will be another lot of excuses. No, we can't because of this, and we can't because of that. I mean, at some stage or the other, we have to draw a line and say, but members, discipline is very much important. As you know for a fact that we have stressed it last week, and we've pointed out that here's the Eastern Cape report, it will be submitted to you. Please do your recommendations and your findings or submissions to the Secretary. I mean, honorable members, we have to draw the line. Somewhere along the line, we have to draw the line. And if members are slipping up in submitting things, it's tough luck. We have to move forward. Honorable Lees?
Mr. Chairman, your point is absolutely taken. And I'm as guilty as the next person.
And even in another week, I'm afraid my week so far, I'm not going to give you any further recommendations, to be absolutely honest with you. However, if Honourable Sinclair and Van Lingen feel so strongly that they will have recommendations, can we test them this time and see if indeed they do what they say they're going to do? And next time we have a report and those honourable members ask for extra time, we know what our answer would then be. So, Honourable Chair, I'm quite open. I hear what the two members are saying. They're absolutely right, in fact, about the issues which we as politicians should be raising. They're absolutely right. I have no disagreement with that. But I know that I'm not going to get anything in this week. I'm terribly sorry, but it's just that kind of week. But, you know, I would beg the indulgence of the other members of the committee to put them to the test.
Honestly, I mean, it is right what they are saying. And I agree with you. But somewhere along the line, honourable members, I mean, if a request comes from the committee where all of us agree, look, all of us agree to that request, and we come back and then we say, no, but look, we need more time, although we have agreed. I mean, someone was saying, or Honourable Sinclair was saying, the integrity of the committee. Now, what does that then, integrity of the committee then has to do? I mean, we agreed, we sit around the table and we agreed, we look each other in the eyes and we say we agreed that the report will be sent and we will do the recommendations, we will do the findings, we will do the submissions, we'll send it to the secretary, agreed. We come back the next meeting, we say, no, give us another week. Honourable members, I mean, your word. So that means integrity doesn't count as well. Let's put it on record. Honourable Van Lingen says words and integrity doesn't count. So based on that, members, then we'll have to adopt this report. As there was a seconder and proposal already for the adoption of the report. We'll have to adopt this report. And I mean, in future, if we ask again, we send out reports for recommendations and that. We will then have to do it. I mean, the report will still be discussed in the House, and the person that will discuss the report can still put that in their speech, can still put that findings and stuff in the speech. The Secretary is very, very lenient. He says we can adopt the report with the amendments, but just now the amendment is wayward, and which were not discussed or anything, and then what do we do? Honourable Kamera?
No, thanks, Chair. I wanted to say, really, we adopt the report with the proviso that maybe we let the two members submit by tomorrow other recommendations so that we accommodate them, because if we are to wait for another week, you know, the IEC as the 8th as the last day, so Honourable Sinclair will still be busy, so he won't have the time. So I think we will give the members to submit those recommendations, and we add them, we'll go through them, but we adopt the report so that we move forward, not backward.
I see that you see that Honourable Sinclair is so much in court that you have now just decided to give way to that, sir. Not to have him spend another day in court or do the Badi Shaban thing, you know, that the doors are closed. Okay, members, we adopt the report with the view is that, is there a seconder to Honourable Gamede? Honourable Lee seconds that. But it's only on the committee findings that you will do input on. And recommendations. Findings. I'm very skeptical about that because it comes from Honourable Sinclair and Honourable Van Lingen, who says word does not matter. It's a nice topic for a debate. Honourable Lee.
Mr. Chairman, I would understand some concern about that, and because you know, it's a committee report, not a CERP or a DA report. So if those recommendations are put into the report tomorrow, and I think they should be put in as DA and CERP recommendations, minority recommendations, if you like, unless you guys read them and find them acceptable. But, I mean, you can't put recommendations in which the other members of a committee haven't had signed on. I'm speaking against myself in a sense, but I mean, we have to be fair here. We have to do the right thing.
No, but Chairperson, if they put this, because we are in a committee meeting and we agree, we'll get these copies. If they submit them to the secretary, then we'll get the copies of the report. Because this is a committee report.
Yeah, it is, but I also tend to agree with Honorable Lees. I mean, the committee has already accepted the report with the recommendation. So what happens if the recommendations are wayward? Then we'll have to then say, well, this committee's this recommendations and findings are wayward.
Either we can't accept the report, or we have to bring the report back to the committee then and start all over again.
Honorable Maine?
I don't know much of it, but now that the majority of members are agreeing, and I must also indicate that we would not allow a situation where court-worthy recommendations are made. Because of interest on this particular matter, in particular in terms of my observation during the visit, the nuclear issue is very sensitive and for different views as members. So, because I have made a proposal that we adopt the report and there were some adjustments by Honorable Diz and then seconded by Honorable Gamete, I think what we actually doing is that we are saying, and it should be noted, we are saying that this is happening for the last time. Now, the report cannot be 86 before we see. So, in essence, we have not adopted the report. We would want to see a report with all the recommendations. We then open space for the comments that were made by Honorable Dikhale and all of that, including myself, because I said I have not, but fundamentally, I have not a problem with the content of the report. So let's say now, because there are proposals, we don't adopt the report, we are giving members, and when we come back, that other way from constituency, that will then go adopt the report. So in essence, the report is not adopted. COVID has won the virtual court, the court battle, and we'll meet with the report then, at the next meeting. Thanks.
Honorable Lee.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to know whether a cost order has been awarded.
Honourable members, no, it's fine. You know, I'm still of the view that, but see that the Youth League has now stepped in and in the defence of COPE, and the DA, it's a worrying factor, Honourable Dikhale. But we'll have to have an ANC caucus about that. honourable members, there is now the first proposal has been withdrawn then from the proposer. The second, do you agree with that?
No, if they withdraw, I withdraw.
Okay, do we agree that we give another week before, by when, Grace, should the submissions be in? Submissions should be in before Friday. If no submissions are in by 4 o'clock or 12 o'clock on Friday, nothing will go into the report. Agreed, honourable members?
I must have some punitive pension.
Yeah, definitely. So then the report stands over till our next meeting for adoption. We have considered it and it stands over for our next meeting of adoption. Honourable members, the minutes, let's look at the minutes of the 25th of January. Everything in order on page 1.
Page 2. Page 3. Can we have an adopter and mover? Honorable Gamera adopts and seconds by Honorable Sinclair. Thank you very much, Honorable Sinclair and Honorable Gamera. What's the date today? 29th, man? Honorable members, minutes of the 8th of February. Honorable Salingan.
I see I wasn't present.
Yeah.
On the 8th of February.
On the 8th of February. If I wasn't present, I would have presented you with apologies.
Apologies.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Honourable members, page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. Can we move for adoption? Honourable Kameda adopts. Honourable Sinclair. And Honorable Mikhali. Sorry. Thank you very much, Honorable Members. That is really progressive. Minutes of the 8th of March. That was the meeting that we have also with Energy. In terms of the INAP, I see my own Kunda and Mkuni apologize. I see everybody was here. Point 1, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5. Nothing. Can we move for adoption?
I second with the corrections on the last page. Mm-hmm. On closure. The meeting was adjourned at 13:30. The next meeting is scheduled for 8 February 2011.
Oh, yeah, February comes after March. Maybe the secretary was doing another state thing or something.
But
that is going forward.
That is going forward.
The 8th of February is backwards, sir.
No, the 8th of February is backwards, but the other one, you won't go in behind, is going forward. So then I would say that. So
that doesn't happen.
Honorable members, we have put in our funds for the satellite. In terms of the mineral public hearing, the reason declined because there is a bit of political thing to it, instability. Mm-hmm. Now also instability. Because the captains of industry, the mining captains of industry, or the mining industry, are still busy with the charter. The mining industry has, when were we in that place, last year, around about there, And the mining industry has been given 12 months to have a big look or to implement the agreement that they have made on the charter. So it was a bit of a crucial for us to go with as an NCOP on that, because the mining industry must still implement some of the issues that they have raised themselves and recommendations that they have made to the charter. So I've just felt that I don't want to take the committee and we haven't even got answers for the communities and the industry itself. So that's why we are not there tomorrow and on Thursday, for today or something like that. For 2 days we are not there, honorable members. Then also the other thing, our strat plan is still before the House chair, but if it's approved, the Secretary will contact you, so please leave on your, I know next week is a recess for constituency period. Alamota Lingan will be running between Cajun plants and Hanky Potency and
Aceburn.
Your cell phones and that, leave it on. The Secretary will contact you regarding the arrangements for the that plan. Also, honorable members, if you feel that you want to add anything on the that plan, please submit that also to the Secretary so that you can have it in time and you don't waste any time when you get there and we have received an invitation. I don't know if it's an invitation or what. Let me read it. Honorable Chair F. Adams from Honorable S. J. Njikalana, MP, Chairperson of the Petroleum Committee on Energy, Strategic Planning Workshop of the Petroleum Committee on Energy, hereby wishes to you to each Strategic Planning Workshop scheduled for 31st March to 1st of April at the Devon Valley Hotel, Calamos. The committee would like to be briefed by the department and its entities on their plans with regard to their contributions to job creation and skill development. A detailed program of the workshop will be forwarded to the committee. For the details, contact the committee secretary and the details below. The portfolio committee on energy hereby wishes to be strategic planning workshop. I don't know if you can wish someone to a thing or something. Could be a typing error, it could be a word.
As a second language.
Mm-hmm.
As a second language.
It sounds more than a first language. I was
impressed. Aren't we going to have our own decision for
it? Yeah, we're going to have
it. Now, with that question, I would just be recommending that we help the
if you have a wish, honorable members,
just to be clear, what is the proposed date for the strategic workshop?
13th to 15th of April. 12th to 14th of
April. 13th.
Awesome. 13th to 15th of April.
Is 13th arrival or?
No.
12 is
arrival.
The venue could be either Carrigan Spa or Venice Spa or Almanas. There's another hotel that can be put up in Almanas. And with the way water the beach could be. They're also very good with their rights.
I say, can I just ask that we formalize this place as soon as possible? I know it's not in your hands, but you know, it's very uncomfortable to arrange it. The second issue, Chair, I submitted formally a request for public hearing on fracking. Can we please consider that as a urgent matter? Put it also on the program in the center of the
a little bit of a presentation, so something.
Okay, Honourable Members, the other thing is that what we need to draw aside the meeting between COP and the UC, and that's awesome. What we need to draw aside is the issues around our provinces so that we can also have a strategic planning workshop, and when we draw up our program of action and our plan, that we include those issues in terms of what you would like us to go and have oversight of in the provinces, so that we can have a 5-year or for the duration of the term plan to have effect. If it's mining, if it's electricity, if it's economic development, or what it is, let's have that. I know our we have submitted the for the approval of all of these in this area and these problems and that, we have approved that. Also, honourable members, we have, as I've explained to you the last time, we have been invited by some of the mining houses to come and have a look at the social and labour plan. And also to see whether they are much or whether they want to have joint meetings with the committee and the community. They want the committee to type of facilitate in that meeting, and where they will then hand over certain royalties, checks, and that type of thing to the community in terms of the social planning. It's not government, mining houses. It's the houses that I think that support also your party. So then you must tell them to get the class. But they are just adhering to the latent spirit of the charter, honorable calling it. But we should have a look at that. We will also include that. I'll ask the secretary to include that also in our plans and in our programs. I don't know if we can still discuss a possible international trip for the future, but I think we should have a look at that. Honourable Cunningham?
Mr. Chair, how many Tuesdays did we have this year? From the middle of January until the end of March, should city people be 10 Tuesdays? Now, we had 3 meetings and one trip takes place over the week. Are those days of the trip meant to make up for the other days that we supposed to have meetings, or is it counted? Is it not counted? I'm worried about the little bit of, or the few meetings that we had. And then secondly, that's just a concern. Secondly, even a bigger concern is the house chair or whoever, the powers that be, that take such a long time to approve a trip. Because if they approve a trip in time, the arrangements can be so much easier and less stressful on all of us. And I really think that, I don't know how you're going to do it, but something proactive will have to be done so that our trips and our program can be approved for the year ahead of time. They can say, we've approved it, but you must move it on with a week before something important is happening, or back with a week, or whatever link you want to take. But for heaven's sake, approve a thing for a program, not only on paper, but also financially, so that we can carry on. Is it impossible to do that?
No, it's possible. But you know, they also need to look at the NCOP program and those types of things. Now, members, I think Honourable Cunningham, we had, to be honest with you, we had quite a fair share of you asked a question, I don't know what that's about. Are you done?
Okay.
So that's the problem. You have multi-skill, but the point is, can you multi-listen?
Honourable members, honourable Parliament, I think we had, as a committee, we had quite a number of meetings. And also our oversight is part of our work. And as the NCP has set it up in 2009, and we had a workshop with Monitor, we said that 70% of our work should be oversight and 30% should be straight at Parliament. And at the moment, we are not even doing justice to that. The 70% of oversight in terms of the problems. So we will be pushing to that, towards that, having the 70% work of oversight. But even if we go on oversight, part of our work, part of our meeting procedures as well. Nothing stops us from applying to have a meeting outside of Parliament. When we go on oversight trips, we can also include a meeting. And the classmates would love that to come to the area. So while we came in numbers to station. We came in numbers to Islamic and even to Kuni in the Ethiopia. King Sabata, I mean there, Brasna, they've come in numbers. So they would really love to come out and give the message and support. If we close this meeting and just find out if you've got anything on your heart, honorable Pihari, nothing on your heart.
Nothing, just
thank you
for finding this meeting.
Thank you, very clean heart, full heart. Honorable Amina.
Thank you, Tian, fine
heart, full heart. Honorable Good week, Maine. Good. Honorable Lee.
Gentlemen, please, you didn't use any adjectives to describe me, but I have nothing to say.
Good heart, fine heart. Honorable Camere.
Chair, nothing, but I'll take this opportunity to announce that we're not having a meeting tomorrow. Because we didn't think it fair to have a meeting, because there are only two sets of meetings that of minutes that were ready, when we have five. So next time I'll ask the members to be patient, that we'll need an hour before after any meeting so that we adopt those minutes.
Honorable Mguni, good heart, Honorable Kamede, good heart. You see, our two honorable colleagues, lady colleagues, they always want to have their own meeting. Honorable Whip, I think you must sit in the middle between them from now on, please. Honorable Mguni, thank you very much. Mr. Masango? Mr. Nijolo? No, thanks. Mr. Flomi? Nothing. Madam?
Nothing,
sir. Nothing, sir? Nothing. Members, go fight the election. Go win votes. But please, don't make unnecessary nuclear stories where there is not. All the best, and this meeting stands adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman.